Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman, a member of Avram Goldar, and today with Sakas Bamitsia, Daf Samach Zayin, the fifth parak, Ezehu Neshech. This parak has been generously sponsored by Mr. and Mrs. Eric and Connie Lindenauer. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the Gemara relates an incident in which someone sold property but retained the right to redeem it when he can. This is forbidden because of ribbis, since if he redeems it, the purchase money was like a loan to the seller, and the buyer's consumption of products in the interim is ribbis. The Gemara asks if the product's consumption is considered ribbis kasutza, set ribbis, and must be repaid to the seller, or only avank ribbis, secondary ribbis, which he's not forced to repay. Rabba bar Rav Huna and Rabba ruled that it's avank ribbis. Abaye asked, Mishkan Tamai, what about property pledged as collateral for a loan? If the lender consumed its produce, would it be ribbis kasutza? This question depends on the reason that the previous case was ruled avank ribbis. Was it mishum dulakatzle, because the seller did not set for the buyer to take the produce as interest, and the same would apply by mishkanta, where they did not discuss taking the produce as interest, or was the lenient ruling specifically for a sale, as opposed to mishkanta, which is for an actual loan? Rabba ruled this case avak ribbis. Rabina ruled stringently even in the case of a redeemed field. Point number two, Rava said, Hai mishkanta ba'asir de misalki, regarding a pledged property, in a place where the borrower can evict the lender before the loan is due, by paying early. Then if the lender consumed the field's produce equal to the amount of money loaned, which is forbidden as avak ribbis, the borrower can consider the produce as payment for the loan and a victim. Any produce he ate beyond that amount is not collected from him, since it's avak ribbis. It also cannot be counted as payment towards another debt he owes the lender. Ravashi disagreed. Now that you've said that if he ate more than the loan's value, we do not collect reimbursement from him because it's avak ribbis, we also do not evict him from the property where his consumption equals the loan amount. He explained evicting without money payment is tantamount to collecting reimbursement from him, which is not done for avak ribbis. And point number three, Rava said, Hai mishkanta ba'asid masalki, regarding a pledged property, in a place where the borrower can remove the lender by paying early, the lender may only eat its produce with a fixed yearly reduction of the debt, which is permitted even if the reduction is less than the produce's likely value, because it is effectively a sale of the produce and not ribbis, and he accepts the risk of a failed crop. Still, Subma Murabban, rabbinical scholar, should not utilize this leniency to avoid even the appearance of ribbis, since he serves as a model for others. The Gemara therefore suggests he can use the arrangement of kitzutza, definite stipulation, in which the lender's free or discounted produce rights are limited to a number of years, after which his consumption is deducted at full value from the debt. This permit is itself a matter of dispute, and the Gemara concludes he can make an arrangement like Mishkanta Desur, where the written terms are, at the end of these years, the land will leave the lender's possession without monetary payment. These terms give the appearance of purchasing the produce for the specified time period, rather than a loan. So once again, the 3 points are number one. The Gemara relates an incident in which someone sold property but retained the right to redeem it when he can. This is forbidden because of ribbis, since if he redeems it, the purchase money was like a loan to the seller, and the buyer's consumption of produce in the interim is ribbis. The Gemara asks if the produce consumption is considered ribbis kasutza, set ribbis, and must be repaid to the seller, or only avank ribbis, secondary ribbis, which he's not forced to repay. Rabba bar Rav Huna and Rabba ruled that it's avak ribbis. Abaye asked, Mishkan Tamai, what about property pledged as collateral for a loan? If the lender consumed its produce, would it be ribbis katsutza? This question depends on the reason that the previous case was ruled avak ribbis. Was it mishum dulakatzle, because the seller did not set for the buyer to take the produce as interest, and the same would apply by mishkanta, where they did not discuss taking the produce as interest, or was the lenient ruling specifically for a sale, as opposed to mishkanta, which is for an actual loan? Rabba ruled this case avak ribbis. Rabina ruled stringently even in the case of a redeemed field. Point number two, Rava said, Hai mishkanta ba'asir de misalki, regarding a pledged property, in a place where the borrower can evict the lender before the loan is due, by paying early. Akoshir zuze, then if the lender consumed the field's produce equal to the amount of money loaned, which is forbidden as avak ribbis, the borrower can consider the produce as payment for the loan and a victim. Any produce he ate beyond that amount is not collected from him, since it's avak ribbis. It also cannot be counted as payment towards another debt he owes the lender. Ravashi disagreed. Now that you've said that if he ate more than the loan's value, we do not collect reimbursement from him because it's avak ribbis, we also do not evict him from the property where his consumption equals the loan amount. He explained evicting without money payment is tantamount to collecting reimbursement from him, which is not done for avak ribbis. And point number three, Rava said, Hai mishkanta ba'asid masalki, regarding a pledged property, in a place where the borrower can remove the lender by paying early, the lender may only eat its produce with a fixed yearly reduction of the debt, which is permitted even if the reduction is less than the produce's likely value, because it is effectively a sale of the produce and not ribbis, and he accepts the risk of a failed crop. Still, Subra Murabban, rabbinical scholar, should not utilize this leniency to avoid even the appearance of ribbis, since he serves as a model for others. The Gemara therefore suggests he can use the arrangement of kitzutza, definite stipulation, in which the lender's free or discounted produce rights are limited to a number of years, after which his consumption is deducted at full value from the debt. This permit is itself a matter of dispute, and the Gemara concludes he can make an arrangement like Mishkanta Desur, where the written terms are B'mishra Mishnaya Ilan Tepak Arada B'lo Kesef. At the end of these years, the land will leave the lender's possession without monetary payment. These terms give the appearance of purchasing the produce for the specified time period, rather than a loan. Alright, so now we go to our simon verdaf samach zayin, and this simon was suggested to us by Richard Berry from Passaic, New Jersey, as well as from Shalom Fried from Woodmere, New York. They both suggested that samach zayin is a sizzling barbecue. So here goes. The end of Zman barbecue was a disaster, when Bachrim were not allowed to buy land if the seller could redeem it because of avak ribbis. And then the Bachrim who lent money and received property as a pledge found out that since the Bachrim ate the produce equal to the amount loaned, the borrower could evict them, since they forgot to arrange a yearly reduction of the debt. Once again, it's a motion. The end of Zman barbecue, that must be more on Daf Samach Zayin, sizzling barbecue. The end of Zman barbecue was a disaster when Bachrim were not allowed to buy land if the seller could redeem it because of avak ribbis, which reminds us, the Gemara relates an incident which someone sold property but retained the right to redeem it when he can. This is forbidden because of ribbis, since if he redeems it, the purchase money was like a loan to the seller, and the buyer's consumption of produce in the interim is ribbis. The Gemara asks if the produce consumption is considered ribbis kutsutsa, set ribbis, and must be repaid to the seller, or only avak ribbis, secondary ribbis, which he's not forced to repay. Rabba bar Rav Huna and Rava ruled that it's avak ribbis. So the end of Zman barbecue was a disaster when Bachrim were not allowed to buy land if the seller could redeem it because of avak ribbis. And then the Bachrim who lent money and received property as a pledge found out that since the Bachrim ate the produce equal to the amount loaned, the borrower could evict them, which reminds us, Rava said regarding a pledge property in a place where the borrower can evict the lender before the loan is due by paying early, then if the lender consumed the field's produce equal to the amount of money loaned, which is forbidden as avak ribbis, the borrower can consider the produce as payment for the loan and evict him. Any produce he ate beyond that amount is not collected from him, since it's avak ribbis. So the end of Zman barbecue was a disaster when Bachrim were not allowed to buy land if the seller could redeem it because of avak ribbis. And then the Bachrim who lent money and received property as a pledge found out that since the Bachrim ate the produce equal to the amount loaned, the borrower could evict them, since they forgot to arrange a yearly reduction of the debt, which reminds us, Rava said regarding a pledged property in a place where the borrower can remove the lender by paying early, the lender may only eat its produce with a fixed yearly reduction of the debt, which is permitted even if the reduction is less than the produce's likely value, because it's effectively a sale of the produce and not ribbis, and he accepts the risk of a failed crop. Still, a Tzurba Merabban, a rabbinical scholar, should not utilize this leniency to avoid even the appearance of ribbis, since he serves as a model for others. So once again, the end of Zman barbecue was a disaster when Bachrim were not allowed to buy land if the seller could redeem it because of avak ribbis. And then the Bachrim who lent money and received property as a pledge found out that since the Bachrim ate the produce equal to the amount loaned, the borrower could evict them, since they forgot to arrange a yearly reduction of the debt. Alright, so now it's time for four Balaba Chazara. Daf Samach Gimel. So the simmer Daf Samach Gimel is a segue. So here goes. The boy spinning around in confusion on his segue. Segue? That must mean we're on Daf Samach Gimel. The boy spinning around in confusion on his segue, trying to figure out why he can make an advance payment for produce, but not for the produce's later cash value, which reminds us, Rav says, Osin amana baperos, one may make a trust, meaning an advance payment for purchase for produce, although its value may increase, being osin amana badami, but one may not make a trust for payment in the produce's later cash value. If he initially gave money and later receives money or any other substitution, it appears like ribbis if the later amount is higher due to the produce's increased value. Rabbi Yanai says, Malihen malhin dmein. What difference is it to me between receiving the goods themselves and receiving their value? Since the original advance purchase was permitted, he may also substitute the produce with something else at payment. So the boy spinning around in confusion on a segue, trying to figure out why he can make an advance payment for produce, but not for the produce's later cash value, was advised by Talmidim in the middle of debating whether ribbis contingent on one side of an agreement is permitted, which reminds us, Shmuel answers the brisa which contradicts Rav is Rabbi Yehuda, who holds tzad echad beribbis mutter. Ribbis contingent on one side of an agreement is permitted. Here, the sale only appears like ribbis if he substitutes the original produce for something else. So Rabbi Yehuda permits it. Rav holds like the Rabban who argue and forbid contingent ribbis. So the boy spinning around in confusion on his Segway, trying to figure out why he can make an advance payment for produce but not for the produce's later cash value, was advised by Talmidim in the middle of debating whether ribbis contingent on one side of an agreement is permitted, to ride up a ramp to the ribbis sign and learn the general rule of ribbis that any profit for waiting for one's money is forbidden, which reminds us, Rav Nachman says, Klal de Ribisa, the general rule of ribbis is that Kol Agad Natale Aser, any profit for waiting for one's money is forbidden. Daf Samach Dalet. So the Siman Daf Samach Dalet is sewed secret and we use a secret agent. So here goes. This secret agent, that must be more on Daf Samach Dalet, sewed secret. The secret agent waiting for the gourds he bought at a great price to grow an amalong, which reminds us, Rav once gave a shir about one who gives money to a gardener for gourds, and the market price is 10 gourds, each a half amalong, for a zuz, but the gardener offered the buyer that if he paid immediately, he would later receive gourds an amalong. In a later version of Rav, he ruled that the gourds are permitted because they grow on their own. So the secret agent waiting for the gourds he bought at a great price to grow an amalong overheard someone buying a barrel of wine to be given at a later date stipulate to the seller that if the wine sours before you give it to me, I get a refund, whereas if it appreciates or depreciates in value, it belongs to me, which reminds us, a buyer permitted to give someone money for a barrel of wine he has to be given at a later date and say that if it sours before you give it to me, it belongs to you, and my money must be refunded, and if it appreciates or depreciates in value, it belongs to me, and the sale remains in effect. A buyer explained that since the buyer accepts the risk of depreciation, karv lazeh lazehu, it's considered near to both gain and loss. So the secret agent waiting for the gourds he bought at a great price to grow an amalong overheard someone buying a barrel of wine to be given at a later date stipulate to the seller that if the wine sours before you give it to me, I get a refund, whereas if it appreciates or depreciates in value, it belongs to me, right next to a courtyard which a borrower rented out to his lender, giving him no discount. Which reminds us, the next mission teaches about one who lends money. He may not live in the borrower's courtyard for free, nor may he rent it from him for less, because either constitutes ribbis, although they were not original stipulation. Daf Samachay. So the simur Daf Samachay is a se, a sheep. So here goes. The shepherd, that must be more on Daf Samachay, se, sheep. The shepherd who paid a higher rent for a pen, since he paid monthly instead of yearly in advance, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Marbinal Sakhar, one may increase the rent of his property for delayed payment, vein Marbinal Mechar, but one may not increase the purchase price of his sale because of delayed payment. Rabban Rav Yosef explained the difference. Schiros Eino Mishtalemes El Basof, rent is only owed at the end of the term. Since the money is owed at the end of each month, not the beginning of the year, the monthly price of a sale is its actual value and not a charge for delayed payment. Rather, the owner is offering him a reduced rate for paying beforehand. Regarding a sale where payment is owed immediately, any increase in price for delayed payment is ribbis. So the shepherd who paid a higher rent for a pen since he paid monthly instead of yearly in advance, and then also paid a higher price for a new staff he bought on credit, which reminds us, Rav Nachman said, Tarsha Shari, selling on credit for a higher price is permitted. He was challenged from a Mishnah which prohibits charging more for delay payment, and Rav Nachman answered, Hasam Katzle, there in the Mishnah, he also set from the price for immediate payment, demonstrating that the higher price is a charge for delayed payment. Hacha lo katzle, here in Rav Nachman's case, he didn't set from the lower price for immediate payment. So the shepherd who paid a higher rent for a pen since he paid monthly instead of yearly in advance, and also paid a higher price for a new staff he bought on credit, made a partial payment for a field, and then was told by the seller that when he pays the balance, the field will retroactively belong to him, which is forbidden to do. Which reminds us, the next Mishnah states that if someone sold a field and after the buyer gave partial payment, the seller told him that whenever he would pay the balance, he would own the field retroactively, this is forbidden. Rav Huna said in such a case, the seller eats the produce, and Rav Anan said it's held by a third party until the owner during the interim is determined. The Gemara goes on to explain that there is no argument. Daf Samach Vav. So the Siman Daf Samach Vav relates to sew, and we use a tailor for the Siman. So here goes. The tailor, that must be one Daf Samach Vav. So the tailor who sewed on the back of the customer's suit, who bought land without a chrais, and was then told by the seller he would be reimbursed completely if a creditor came, Betume Mili Ba'amahu, which reminds us, the Gemara relates an incident of a man who sold a property without a chrais, a guarantee of reimbursement if it's collected by the seller's Baal Chov. The seller saw the buyer was unhappy and pledged to reimburse the land and its improvements and produce with high quality land if it was taken. Amemar said, but tume mili ba'amahu. It's merely words of comfort and not a binding commitment. Since the stipulation should be made by the buyer, since it's for his benefit, and the seller made the offer himself, it's not effective. So the tailor who sold on the back of the customer suit who bought land without a chrayas and was then told by the seller he would be reimbursed completely if a creditor came, but tume mili ba'amahu, and then stitched the word asmacht on the shirt of a lender who stipulated that he could keep the field the borrower gave him as a security if he does not pay back on time, which reminds us. The Mishnah taught where a lender said that if the borrower does not pay on time, he can keep his field, which was a security, the stipulation is effective. Rav Nachman retracted his original ruling and said that even if the agreement was made at the time of the loan, well, kind of a loklum, he does not acquire anything. The agreement is an asmachta, a commitment made without thinking he would have to keep it, which Rav Nachman ruled ineffective. So the tailor who sold on the back of the customer's suit who bought land without a chrayas and was then told by the seller he would be reimbursed completely if a creditor came, but tume mili ba'amahu, and then stitched the word asmachta on the shirt of a lender who stipulated that he could keep the field the borrower gave him as a security if he does not pay back on time, informed the borrower that his field is returned as well as the produce taken by the lender, not because mechil betalus havi mechila, but because it looks like ribbis, which reminds us what Nachman said. Once the rabbis ruled that an asmachta is not binding, the field returns to the borrower and all the produce taken by the lender also returns and is repaid if it's consumed. The Gemara clarifies that this is not because Rav Nachman holds mechil betalus havi mechila, a mistaken waiver is not an effective waiver, but rather that in the case of a loan, the lender must nevertheless return the produce to avoid the appearance of ribbis. All right, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which tough do you learn that sometimes the stipulation is betume mili be'amahu, are mere words of comfort and is not binding? That's on daf samach vav. Good. Number two, which tough do you learn a lender cannot live in a borrower's courtyard for free or at a discount, since that would constitute ribbis? That's on daf samach dalet. Good. Number three, which tough do you discuss a pledged property in a place where the borrower can evict the lender before the loan is due by paying early? That's on daf samach zayin. Good. Number four, which daf do we have machlokes if ribbis katsutza yotze b'dayanim is collected by the dayanim? That's on daf samach aleph. Good. Number five, which of the when the lender may only eat the produce from a pledged property with a fixed yearly reduction of the debt? That's on daf samach zayin. Good. Number six, which daf to discuss the topic whether mechil b'tal is havi mechila, whether mistaken waiver is an effective waiver? That's on daf samach vav. Good. Number seven, which daf do you discuss haramis ribbis? That's on daf samach beis. Good. Number eight, which daf do you have a question if produce taken on redeemed sale or mishkanta is ribbis katsutza or avak ribbis? That's on daf samach zayin. Good. Number nine, which the when a borrower's commitment that if he fails to pay the lender keeps his field, according to Rav Nachman, is an asmachta? That's on daf samach vav. Good. Number ten, which daf do you learn about the general klal for ribbis? That's on daf samach gimel. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhar from Zuchah, wishing you a great day and great learning.